Got it. Here we go on a Friday. Sherry sits in for Tom. Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate for doing that. And at 5:30, the know-it-all quiz. Get a chance to come on the air and win what, Jacob?
Another Cairo Radio prize pack.
Ah, yes. Wow. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Bucky's been around for 50 years, and they've got 16 locations. Sherry, I ask you, if you had a car and is breaking down or not running right, where would you take it?
I'd take it to Bucky's.
Bucky's. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Diving into the net! That is refreshing. I went in today, and Dougie stood there and watched, as he always does. Now, at first, I thought he likes watching because he wants to make sure I'm not going to get hurt. Now, I think this 66-year-old guy is kind of really enjoying me in my underwear.
Uh-oh.
Am I the only one?
This is a development.
Who else? Anybody else? Huh? Anybody else? I know. New sort of new development.
Yeah.
I'm sure. By the way, Jacob, I've noticed. Uh-huh. I don't know why this is, but you can now get Cairo Radio 97.3 on your radio in your car in Central Washington. It used to be that the signal was not that strong. Have they jacked up the signal that I'm out here now, or does it have to do with trees, or is it COVID? Do you know why?
No one has mentioned anything to me, but it's certainly a possibility.
It's quite disturbing.
Yes, it's the 5G waves. Yeah, that must be what it is.
That's what it is. Got it. Romney said, this would be Mitt Romney, had said that, you know what? Well, actually, we've had sound.
Oh, yeah, here he is. Here comes your former governor. Here comes your former presidential candidate. Here comes your senator.
Will President Trump continue to play a role in my party? I'm sure he will. He has by far the largest voice and a big impact in my party. I don't know about his family members, whether they intend to do that. But I expect he will continue playing a role. I don't know if he'll run in 2024 or not. But if he does, I'm pretty sure he will win the nomination.
You think he would win the nomination?
Oh, I think he'd win the nomination if he runs. I mean, a lot can happen between now and 2024. So, and I'm not great at predicting. I subscribe to Yogi Berra's philosophy in that regard. He said, I don't like predicting, particularly if the future's involved. So, I don't really know what'll happen there. But I look at the poll.
Mitt, just a little comment here. After a big joke like that, pause, right, Sherry?
Right.
Let the laughter fill the room. Get people get their air, but you know, a lot of them, you know, getting back up off their knees and then keep going.
Polls and the polls show that among the names being floated as potential contenders in 2024, if you put President Trump in there among Republicans, he wins in a landslide.
Yeah. And finally, the big question is he tried to filibuster all the way through, but then they're like, whoa, wait, before you leave, will you support him?
Would you campaign against him?
I would not be voting for President Trump again. I haven't voted for him in the past, and I would probably be getting behind somebody who I thought more represented the tiny wing of the Republican Party that I represent.
Okay. Are you surprised in the recent poll that like 70% of Republicans are still in support of Donald Trump?
No, I'm not surprised at all. Are you?
No, I'm not. I think they feel vindicated by the sham impeachment that occurred, and I think also that the pendulum is swinging, always swinging, and you see what you have in the White House now, and you see the direction that things are going now, so then people go, whoa, we got to stop that. Well, what can we do? So they pick up the bat phone, and they get Donald Trump back in there again. And Donald Trump, now, whether he is healthy enough, he'll be 78, I think, if he decides to run again, and he is a better counterpuncher than he is a puncher. And then he will always be the one that can take shots at. It's much easier for him to pound away at Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton when he was sort of the guy coming from the outside. As the outsider, he can say, hey, listen, I'm not part of this mess. He can come back in again and go, hey, I left for a while. So technically I wasn't part of that mess. So here I come again. I'm an outsider all over again.
Yes, and I've come to save the day. They did a Politico poll, and here's how the numbers break out. 57% of Republican voters say they want Trump to play a major role in the election. 80% viewed him favorably, and 53% mm-hmm. said they would support him in 2024. So, you know, everybody that was on board with Trump still is, but it's still really early in the game, don't you think? I mean, 2024 yes. is a way off, ways off. I mean, it's too soon, you know.
Well, the only reason they're talking about it now is because on Sunday, CPAC, which is this big conservative convention that goes on, I went there for the first time they had it, or second or third year, when I was living in Washington, D.C. And man, it is the red meters. I mean, you get the guys that have got the giant red suspenders and the bellies that you just want to rub clockwise and then counterclockwise. Get those guys. And then you have the guys that have the blue blazers on with the glasses, and they're under the age of like 22, and they think it's really cool that they're conservatives. There's those guys. And right. then you got the other guys that have the blue blazer that's misbuttoned, and their shoulders are covered in 3.5 inches of just great skiing dandruff powder. And they're everybody's walking around. They got booklets and people are selling stuff. And Sunday night, I think it's Sunday night, Donald Trump comes on stage with an unlimited amount of time. First time he did this in 2012, they only gave him 5 minutes. But he is going to bring down the house and probably go for 2 hours. What do they expect him to talk about?
Well, the Wall Street Journal had an opinion piece, and they said he could go in two different directions. He could devote his speech to the anger over the election, you know, complain about Mitch McConnell and other Republicans that haven't supported him, how the election was stolen. He could go down that track if he wanted to. Or he could compare and contrast his agenda versus Biden's current agenda with immigration and the COVID vaccine and all of these other things. And it really depends on how he wants to move forward. And mm-hmm. I say, you know, really, it's going to depend on knowing your audience. I mean, if you come up with this kinder, gentler Trump, is that really what the audience wants to hear? I don't think so. I think they're still angry. I think they want to hear the old Trump. They miss him. They want him back.
My recommendation would be don't start with the steal thing. Don't talk about it was stolen from you. Let that go. Okay,
right.
You lost. At least show some sort of growth and blast away the stuff that's happening in there now. The main thing is this: 4 years from now, if Donald Trump is even viable as a human being, and I mean that in the sense he's physically able to hold 4 years at the party. What will the economy be like? If the economy is roaring along, or at least clunking along at a pretty good rate, people will be like, okay, I'm all right with this, I'm all right with that. As long as you have a job, people still vote with their pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
Do you vote every 4 years, or do you vote every 2 years? Are you a regular voter?
I'm a regular voter, but I don't vote in the primaries because I'm a registered independent.
Ah, okay. Do you have friends that you have lost because of political positions that you've taken?
No, I do not. I do not. My husband did, but I have not.
Your husband sounds like a communist.
Bingo. No, he's not. No, but he's very opinionated about politics, and he's not afraid to share his opinions. And so I think sometimes, you know, we live in this, you know, horrible environment now where people take it so seriously and take it so personally that friends are lost, family members. I have friends who won't speak to their families because they voted for Trump. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't quite get that either, but I do understand that what has happened is politics is downstream to culture. Culture and politics now are all just sort of a big bullion base or a swamp, and the stuff on top is the things that people respond to. The fact that people can express ideas with about the same amount of thought that a monkey uses before flinging its poo at you is about the same amount of concept and thought and context that people use to express opinions in 140 some characters or on Facebook, where people blast away at each other back and forth, neighbors against neighbors. I don't quite understand what keeps people together or what will bring us together other than humanity and people not seeing one another as being from a party, but seeing people as just somebody else that I know, right? No red or blue, just someone else. The other day, there's a woman in a car. It's a Subaru. She's got two kids. The car goes off the road, nothing too serious, and it's off to the side there at this exit to go over to Cleellum to go to Safeway. And I see her, and I stop, I jump out of the car, and I run over and I help her and a bunch of other guys in pickup trucks, most of them Trump supporters and stuff. You could tell we pull her out. But if you were to sort of judge, you'd say, she looks like not a Trump person. And these guys look like Trump. You know what I'm talking about? I don't mean to make sweeping generalizations, but I am trying to do talk radio where I'm not held accountable for anything I say. Mm-hmm. I looked at her and I thought, I bet you dollars to donuts, she's probably somebody that is not, you know, part of the Trump crowd. But everybody that stopped saw somebody on the side of the road that needed help. And we all liked the idea that we could pull her out of there. Everybody had some sort of tool that we could use to drag her car up out of this ditch with. And I'm telling you, after she pulled out, everybody's waving and high-fiving each other. There's this wonderful sense of, like, it didn't matter. No politics at all. Nothing other than there's somebody that could use some help. And I happen to have a shovel and you've got this and we've got that. Nobody went ahead and said, you know, what party do you vote for? The fact that we are disconnected from one another, where we don't see each other on any kind of humane basis, causes, I think, the rift and the separation. Am I just way out of line on that?
No, I don't think you're way out of line at all. I think you're absolutely correct. And sometimes it does take something, you know, that shows our humanity, that brings us back together. But I will ask you this. Do you think that Trump is at all... not, I don't necessarily want to say to blame, because he isn't the one, you know, getting all these opinions out there. It's the people that support him are. But are you bored now that he's gone? And do you think he has to be somewhat responsible for what has happened in terms of this great divide in this country?
I think everybody shares some responsibility, and I'm going to lay the blame at the media, Democrats, and Donald Trump. Trump likes to fight, and they certainly wanted to fight with him. 2015, he says he's going to run, and the media gives him billions of dollars worth of free advertising because they never think that he's going to win. And then, oh my God, he wins. I think they were shocked that he won, but they didn't want him. And the people that were inside Washington that are part of the system certainly didn't want him either. They did the best to possibly spy on him. Kevin Kleinsmith, by the way, is the FBI lawyer that made changes to emails, sent it to the FISA court. Tom would normally be interrupting me at this point, but they definitely did not want Donald Trump to be the president. And then they impeached him and tried to talk about impeaching. They hated him for 4 years. The media helped to light the fire that made the people that love Trump hate the media, hate anybody that hated Trump. And it really, the whole thing began to sort of tear apart, where you were either with him or against him. And when you're sitting there in your living room on your, it's not a, not leather, it's a leatherette. It eventually starts to come apart after a year. Because the cat pulls at it. Mm-hmm. You're sitting there and you're watching the media, and that's your guy, and the media is pooping all over your guy, then you hate the media. So this is where we are right now. If you listen to the fact that a couple of Democrats would like to be able to have big media stop presenting ideas that they find to be hateful. Here comes Kathy McMorris.
In all my time on this committee, there's never been a more obvious, direct attack on the First Amendment, despite what has been said. I want to be very clear. Condemning the January 6th attack and upholding truth and facts, it's a shared bipartisan goal. Unfortunately, that's not what this hearing is about. If the majority was really interested in a meaningful dialogue, you wouldn't schedule a hyper-partisan hearing to shame and blame. You wouldn't be sending letters pressuring private companies to block conservative media outlets. I'm not only disappointed in this hearing, I'm deeply troubled by it. Every journalist, from MSNBC and CNN to the New York Times, should be concerned by the majority's actions. And anyone who values free speech and a free press should be worried. Elected officials using their platform to pressure private companies to censure media outlets they disagree with? That sounds like actions from the Chinese Communist Party, not duly elected representatives of the United States Congress.
As your representative, Kathy McMorris Rodgers, she's speaking about the fact that they're having hearings and they're asking cable operators to not carry Fox, asking media organizations that provide the content to stop it. This is now part of the narrative, which is words cause hate. And hate and violence are combined with words, and words and actions are tearing this country apart. So stop it. Nothing will make people more upset to feel as if they're being censured.
Yeah, and one of the women that spoke in front of this was someone that whose dad died from COVID. And she said something to the effect of, you know, they didn't pull the trigger, but Fox News, I think is what she was referring to, didn't pull the trigger, but they drove the getaway car because he watched, she says, all of these things on Fox that discounted the severity of COVID, and therefore she blames them for that. This should be chilling no matter where you are on the political spectrum. The idea that people are going to try to decide what's best for you and how the media presents thing. This is a terrible, terrible idea. It really is. And I think everybody should be upset about this. It's crazy.
Well, in times of war or crisis, the government steps in and says, like in World War II, we need a communication and public censoring body. We need an act that protects this country. So what we're going to do is we are going to start to read things and stop things from being printed. And we have to make sure that the words that are being used in no way give anybody any idea that we are weak. So the government stepped in and started to take control of everything that was being printed because they didn't want to give the Germans any kind of hint that we might not be ready for this fight. So they stepped in a time of emergency and basically took over a bunch of controls. Now, if you can present to everybody, hey, we're in a state of emergency right now, we need the government to say to the organizations that carry Fox, stop carrying Fox, because they are disseminating just misinformation and it's tearing this country apart. Boy, if they can get that to happen, of course they got it to happen during the Hunter Biden story, Twitter and social media stopped that. The damage that will be done to this country if they're able to succeed. You talk about dividing. People will be so mad at that point.
Yeah.
Just yeah. Up to here, I'm telling you, Sherry. Up to here.
Up to here.
Up to here. Oh, yeah. I hope that never comes to that. All right, Tracy. I hear your music in the background there. I hear it. Wow. Look at you taking over for Tom.
Sorted.
Jumping in there. It's Jesse Jones.
Sorry to the kids out there.
Yeah. We'll mess up his name. You know, he'll come over to your house. He's going to start knocking at the door.
He's Jesse.
Like every... Yeah, everybody from 60 Minutes, you know, Mike Wallace, all that old crew, be like, hi, I'm Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes. Can I talk to you for a minute? And they're like, oh! That's Jesse all rolled up into one. He shows up at your door... It's either going to be really good for you, like he's going to get some justice, or justice is coming looking for you. I see.
Oh, no. Jesse, yeah. I'm so sorry.
That's right. Kiel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL, the ones to get to, especially when a refinance right now. Mortgage rates historically low, but they are slowly creeping up. Kiel Mortgage, the ones to talk to. Two fun stories. The first one having to do with the fact that this is a great study out of the Netherlands. It says that parents of daughters who are more likely to be divorced are more likely to divorce than those with sons. So mom and dad have a daughter, they're more likely to call it quits than if mom and dad have a son. Or if mom and dad have a daughter first and then have a son second, are they still more likely to get divorced? Sherry, I ask you.
Yes. So it's really interesting. So studies conducted back in the 80s suggested this very same thing, that if the firstborn is a daughter, they're more likely to divorce. But they called it son preference. In other words, it's because guys really wanted a boy and they really got frustrated and thought, OK, I'm out of here because I don't want a bunch of girls. But what they found now is that the divorce rate raises as or gets higher as the children get older. So it's usually around teenage years, like 13, 14, 15, that the parents with the firstborn girl get divorced. So the theory is, if a guy's going to stick around 13 or 14 years, it's not because he doesn't have a son. It has more to do with the conflict that's created with having a teenage daughter and the difficulty that they might have, the parents might have, with agreeing on how to raise her or what to do with her. And it also kind of goes into the whole idea that, you know, sons don't get nearly as much scrutiny as daughters do.
Hmm. Do they also, so explain to me the birth order in your family.
Two girls. And my parents have been married 66 years.
Aha. So you now, are the outliers. Yes.
There is one other little thing. If the father has a sister, then the whole thing is negated. It doesn't count at all. So if the man has two daughters, let's say, or firstborn daughter, and has a sister, everything's peachy.
And in your case, did your father have a sister? And was it Colonel Mustard in the study with the candlestick?
Negative. He did not. He had two brothers. So
I
there.
See. So there the conversation comes to a screeching halt. I had heard from friends that the greatest influence on the daughter is the father. That if you want to be able to create a healthy, full, loving, compassionate, understanding, intelligent, savvy, whatever. It is the father's influence on the daughter is the greatest influence, because then that kid goes out there into the world and normally marries the opposite sex parents and tries to find somebody like dad. Now, unfortunately, she could try to find somebody like dad, and dad might just be a horrible person, but it's more likely, you know, that's what she understands as love. Love is really what is familiar. So then she goes out and it's like she gets a guy and just like her father. And then she ends up kind of repeating a lot of those sort of same cycles. But if the dad is good and has a good relationship, although they say that it's extremely a lot of conflict. Did you have lots of conflicts with your father or little or none? Because your dad was too busy practicing for the Washington Redskins racist marching band.
I knew you'd bring that up. No, I didn't have any conflict with my dad at all. My dad was a workaholic. My dad, my mom kind of did all the disciplining and things like that. So, no, my dad was very passive and very kind and sweet and just a great guy. You know, I have a great relationship with my dad. So I think you're right about that.
Did your mother ever have to say, wait till your father comes home, and then the two of you just break down in laughter?
Well, he little bit, like she would say that. She would say, you know, you're going to speak to your father about this. And then my dad would be like, you know, oh, man, what are we going to do? Your mom's all mad. What are we going to, we got to figure this out. You know, he was more like one of us than on, you know, he was on our side.
And now for final Sherry question.
Okay.
Did you marry is your husband the one you've got now? I don't know how many you've had. Is he like your dad?
No, he's nothing like my dad. He is incredibly opinionated. He's very strong. He's my dad was an intellectual, you know, so he liked books and things like that and talking about politics and great works and things like that. My husband is
wait, hold on a second. When you say your dad was an intellectual, is that just a nice way of saying he's not athletically inclined? Is that just another way around it? Huh?
Well, no, he played tennis, but he didn't. But he wasn't handy. Like my husband could do anything. My husband's like MacGyver. You know, he can fix anything. He's complete, 100% capable. My dad couldn't do any of that stuff. You know, he wasn't interested even a little bit in that. So in that way, they're not alike at all.
Yeah, it is something your father hands down to the son, which is mechanical abilities. My father always was amazed at the number of screws, bolts, washers that were left over. He says, why do they give us so many extra stuff? I think I think those things are necessary, Dad. You know, they make these things dingbat. That was a big word, dingbat. They make these things dingbat proof. And one day when he put in an air conditioning unit, which was one of those heavy ones, now it's discouragingly referred to as a hobo box. That's what my niece is called. How embarrassing. We've got hobo boxes hanging out in the front back of the house. The big, heavy air conditioning unit, which my father put in. And as he's putting it in, I'm like, how about these big bag of, Dad, how about all this? Got a big bag of, like, screws and bolts. And, you know, it's right here. It's in this baggie here, Dad. There's washers and, you know, counter screws. And you need, like, a bunch of tools. And he's like, hey, listen, that is for homes that don't have heavy windows. This house was built in 1910. The windows are heavy. You don't need to worry about it. And I'm like, really? So he just puts the giant air conditioning unit into the window and then brings the heavy window down on top of it, turns it on, and he says, look, it's got like six speeds. I said, turn it on high. It cool Lori's room off faster. So he puts it on high. We're both standing there watching it as it... He goes, look at that. It's cooling off already. And as it's shaking, the window opens up, and the last thing we see is... is the cord pulling out of the wall. Yes. Oh, yeah. And falling two stories down onto the back deck where Lori was sunbathing just a few feet away with a Peter Frampton double album wrapped in aluminum foil, her face covered in baby oil, so she could begin the first treatments of skin cancer. And when the air conditioning unit hit like 10 feet from her, Lori's blessed line of her entire life is, I'm starting to feel cooler already.
I'm surprised your dad didn't say, do you want a washer or an air? You know how it like, do you want a screw?
Hey, some or people, a, you know. Hey, some people like a counter screw. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Like
whatever happened to that thing?
They like vanilla.
There he is.
Yeah.
You like summer? They like winter.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Jacob, I'm going to send you the rest of it because it goes on for 10 minutes. And it could take up an entire segment until people start to choose what they like best. You like Cairo Radio with a long segment about my father giving explanations? You like a knitting needle in your ear. All right. Tracy Taylor with a look at traffic. Here we go. The know-it-all quiz is coming up today. I was supposed to do it yesterday, but I spaced on having to write it. Got one today. Hope it doesn't get us in any trouble. I sent that to Jacob. Again, since I make it and I send it to him, and then if he ends up serving it, in effect, it's like bad pork. Trichinosis is never, it's the guy that hands it to you. Right, Sherry? Isn't that generally the rule on, yeah. Okay. So it's on Jacob at that point. We'll do the know-it-all quiz coming up around 5:30. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. You text as well. The State Roofing text line at 989073. Do love to hear from you. Going to the movies in the pandemic, it is the best $99, boy, this person bought a lot of popcorn, that you will ever spend.
Yes.
This person went to one of the massive 16-theater monstrosities that's with a huge parking lot to go in there. And was there anybody else in the movie theater?
Well, what he did was he was actually a guest. This guy's writing about the fact that he lives in New Jersey, and a friend of his rented the AMC Theater in New Jersey, in one of the cities there, for $99. AMC is starting this thing now where to try to get people back into the theater and to try to get people to come back to watch movies, you can have 20 of your friends come in for $99. And they will show classics, okay? You can't see regular movies. That'll cost you $250. But if you want to spend the $99, you can go in. There's a whole bunch of movies that you can pick from. They picked School of Rock. And things aren't included, like concessions and things like that. For $100, you can actually rent a microphone and announce guests as they come in. I don't know anybody that would do that. But AMC's revenues fell to $941.5 million. That's down 22% in 2020. Uh-huh. So they're doing anything they can to try to get the movie experience going again for people.
And they probably have the lights off where the concession stand is, and then have like a sheet oddly draped over something. And the popcorn machine is, there's nothing in it. It's very clean. And you can't, there's no snow caps or whatever those things are, nonpareils. And you can't get to any candy. That's the half the experience of going to the movies, isn't it?
Oh, contraire. No, they have the whole deal. You can get concessions.
Oh, they do?
You can get candy. Oh, yeah, it's the full movie experience. Yeah, they'll let you do all that. It's not that sad. I mean, it's actually like going to the movies. You're just paying a lot more. And when you consider, uh-huh. You can do the math for me, 20 people divided into 99, that's not that bad.
No, that's not bad at all. You do the math, basically, is a way of saying I can't do the math. Are you a movie theater goer? I tend not to go. I watch them on planes. Tom goes to them all the time, and then he always makes fun of, like, the last movie I had seen was, I think, Ordinary People. That's the last one I actually saw at a movie theater.
Wow.
No,
I love the movies, and I think it's because I love to eat. I love the popcorn and all of that, so that might be part of it, that I'll go see any movie just to have the experience of eating the popcorn and sitting there. And the Cine Bistros, those are the best.
Oh, those are the worst. You're eating shrimp scampi, and the hat, it's on a plate in front of you, and it's all over your lap, and in the dark. And you can't tell where the tail is. You get like a shrimp scampi tail. And then the person next to you throws up all over you.
No, it's great. They even give you popcorn in a real bowl. So you don't have one of those cardboard containers. They give it to you like you would make at home. It's the best.
No. No. Wow. I just have this image of you in there just eating, watching movie after movie. Going and sitting with strangers. Are you going to finish that? Eating a tuna fish sandwich you snuck in. All right.
Yeah.